This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. All right, and now let's learn some etiquette.
Yes, each week you send in your questions about how to behave, and returning to answer them this time are etiquette royalty, Lizzie Post and Daniel Post Senning. They are the great-great-grandkids of etiquette queen Emily Post herself, and they're the co-hosts of the podcast Awesome Etiquette, which lives up to its name, the brand new edition of their etiquette manual called Emily Post's Etiquette, the 19th edition, just came out. And Lizzie and Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Mazel tov, too. We've been saying the 18th edition for a while.
It's been years.
This is an exciting
moment. It's time for the 19th.
So we thought we'd ask you about some new additions to your etiquette manual. And one seems a clear sign of the times, the use of MX, pronounced mix, as a form of address. Can you tell us about this?
Very simply, mix is a gender-neutral form of address.
The Oxford English Dictionary accepted mix into its next printing, and we ran with it.
Like Mr. or Miss, now if you were addressing an envelope or an invitation, you would put MX?
You got it. If you're unsure of what the person you are writing to prefers as their gender identity, then you would use mix.
I do think about it. When I encounter that stuff on, you know, government documents, you have to select a gender, and you have to fill out a form of address often. And so maybe eventually this will seep into the national consciousness.
It's appropriate that you bring that up, because governmental forms are one of the places that these types of pronouns often first appear for exactly that reason.
Keep an eye out for that on your passport application.
All right. So let's turn to some listener questions with this new book of etiquette.
Let's break it in.
Let's break in edition 19. Here we go. The first question comes from Anonymous in Manhattan. Anonymous writes, "The company I work for is sending two employees on a business trip to Thailand. One of the employees happens to be my ex-husband.
Ooh.
The other is going to be either me or another woman. She doesn't want to go because she has a two-year-old kid she doesn't want to leave behind for days. But if it isn't already obvious, I also don't want to go on an international trip with my ex." Who has the better excuse for not going?
Oh, I feel so bad for Anonymous.
The new parent's going to come in on the side of the two-year-old mother.
Yes, Dan, you have a new child.
I say, suck it up, face the ex.
The emotionally damaged single person will say, please don't force people into situations with their exes.
I think
that's like...
I like how etiquette is so malleable.
Come on.
My guess is that your company is simply going to make the decision, and whoever it is they choose needs to be the person to go. And I would leave it up to that. These are both valid emotional reasons for not wanting to go. Mm-hmm. I would also say that the childcare, depending on this coworker's home life and work situation and availability of childcare, can definitely be an issue. But clearly, this is a job where travel is expected.
Yeah.
And clearly, the divorce happened and neither employee left. So,
people are
aware of the circumstances in both these cases. Your company is just going to make the decision, and I think you got to roll with it.
Oh, but the nightmare. Nightmare.
Oh, but.
Could you imagine?
Or a screenplay develops where they fall in love again, things reignite, they stay in Thailand,
they decide
not even to return to their jobs, and they open a mango shack.
Mm-hmm. That sounds nice. It could also be a horror movie where they're both kidnapped and are forced to spend 2 weeks inside a cage or something.
I was going to say, romantic comedy or psychological thriller? We don't know.
Either way, more interesting than just a week at the office.
There you go, Anonymous. Here's something from Sam in Durham, North Carolina. Sam writes, "I often wonder, is it okay for me, someone who does not need a wheelchair-accessible stall, to use a wheelchair-accessible stall? If it is my turn to use the restroom and a wheelchair stall opens, I feel like people behind me in line might get annoyed if I don't go in, but if someone who needs the stall arrives, I'd certainly regret it." It's nice of you, Sam.
It is nice, and it's really good etiquette. That stall is really there for a reason. It's there for people who need it. There is also that courtesy you're trying to balance in your mind, the practicality of sometimes it's the available space and there's more people trying to use the restroom than there is available space. So I say you balance those two considerations, but you definitely keep your antenna out. You don't set up shop in there. You don't lay out the newspaper.
But then that does beg the question, and I ask this, without judgment, if there's a wheelchair accessible stall, does that mean someone who does need a wheelchair never has to wait in line?
There are some different angles to this one in terms of the idea is to not come across patronizing. to not come across as othering someone else. But I think if you are in that line and you see someone who could benefit from using that stall, I say please offer it to them first.
If someone declines that particular courtesy, I wouldn't get in an argument about it, but
right.
I would absolutely pay them that respect. Think of it as a new form of chivalry.
All right. Our next question comes from Meredith in Salem, Oregon. Meredith writes, my daughter and I were on a family vacation. Down the hallway from our hotel room sat a very expensive bottle of champagne and an ice bucket and two glasses. The next morning, the champagne and glasses were still there, untouched. Is there any way it would have been okay to take the unused champagne for my own enjoyment? Would the answer be different if impressionable young children weren't present, whom I was supposed to be guiding morally?
Oh, Meredith.
So,
wow.
Is this question about stealing a bottle of champagne?
Yes, that is. We have an etiquette question about...
It's a version of the two-second rule. The champagne's been there for almost 24 hours yeah. and no one's drinking it. That's a crime in France, I think.
I say lifting champagne from someone else's room service is definitely a no-no. Definitely a no-no. If you could get that person's attention and ask, maybe. And maybe that 12-hour, 24-hour right. window starts to be territory where you might inquire, but
I think the unopened part is the problem.
What if
it was open but three quarters full?
Mm.
And then it's the next morning and it's still out front and it looks like they put it out front maybe to have it be taken away.
We just want a way that we can get free wine. Can you make it okay?
I'm going with the safety first etiquette angle on this one. In the spirit of not drinking poisoned wine, skunked
potentially
wine.
Roofied wine. I mean, come on.
That's a real sad view of humanity.
I'm very disappointed that there seems to be no way we can get this wine. Here's something... from Mary via our website. Mary says, no one covers their mouth when they yawn anymore.
Hold on. Thank you, Mary, for sending
I know. Hallelujah.
In.
Mary.
Keep going. Mary, keep going, Rico.
Mary
Sorry.
Has a whole screed I think you'll appreciate, Brendan. She says next, were they raised by wolves? Why would anyone want to see the inside of their mouths, their dental work or lack thereof, their adenoids, and their dirty tongue? I have no interest in their gaping yaw. I feel like I'm the only tight-lipped person in a sea of orifices.
Whoa, aging Dr. Freud.
That's different visual for you.
Is there any polite way to tell these truly offensive humans to cover their mouths?
Thank you, Mary, because it's often inappropriate to mention it in the moment. You don't have the standing to tell someone to cover their mouth, but it would be so nice if we did have the standing to give that direction. So we'll take this moment to remind people everywhere, please. It can just be a little bit foul, a little bit gross of the body, but it's also a social cue, and be aware of both implications and effects on other people.
Anyway, Lizzie and Dan, thank you so much for your wonderful guidance, and congrats on the 19th edition.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
Lizzie Post and Daniel Post-Senning, co-authors of the brand new 19th edition of Emily Post Etiquette. Don't sleep on buying it. Don't even yawn.